Oh, man, feel the life in here? How many of you feeling the life up in here? Glory to God forever. Woo! Turn to Acts chapter 26. Listen, God, this doesn't throw a level on you. You have to shift. You shift with Him, and then He puts it on you. Amen? You've got to go through a shifting with God. A transition, like the eye of the needle. It's where that caterpillar becomes that butterfly. You're going to go through that womb experience. You're going to go through that eye of the needle. And in that shifting, when you turn and you start turning into what God wants you to turn into, and then it starts the preparation for what God's going to do next. This body is about to go through a massive transformation into a full apostolic house. And it is beautiful. It's beautiful, but we're shifting inside right now internally. Amen. Shifting is not fun. You go through all kinds of things when you're shifting. Your mind, your emotions, you got to learn what discern what's of God, what's of you, what's of the enemy. And sometimes those things get combobulated in the middle of a shift. You think you're justified when you're not. And you got to find the truth in the midst of that. And you can't be moving too fast and knee-jerk. People who are knee-jerky, they haven't been seasoned in the Spirit. Because when you're in the Spirit and get seasoned, you don't knee-jerk with God. There's a time you step out of the boat when the Spirit's on you. But when you're making transitionary shifts, you have to stand and let God make that. Amen? Because you can get pulled out of something God was trying to pull you in, and it'll take you years to get back to that door again. Amen? And we're at a door right now, and we're not about to go around the mountain again. Boy, my feet are nailed into the door. That's what Peñuel, it's the doorway of transition. But anyway, let's go to Acts 26. Amen. This is Paul having this encounter with the Lord, when the Lord just seized him right there. Woo! Powerful. Verse 13, it said, "O midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun." Now, he's seeing the Lord in his manifested glory, the kind of glory the church is going to be entering into in the last days, "shining around about me and them which journeyed with me." And he said that they had fallen, but I'm going to go to what he saw. And Jesus said, "I am he persecuted." Now the Lord's going to speak to him something very powerful. He said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet." Anybody with an encounter like this, you're not going to be left on your feet. John wasn't, Daniel wasn't. Whenever you encounter the manifest glory of God, you bite the dust. I mean, it's the way it is. It's going to put you down. And the Lord said, "Now rise," because now when he gets ready to speak something here, and he said something very profound to him, he said, "Rise, stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which you're seeing this day." You will be an eyewitness. He did this specifically with Paul outside of the 12, because he had ordered the 12, and he pulled Paul aside and he gave him exactly everything he gave the 12. The eyewitness, the doctrine of the resurrection, the whole thing. And he says, "which thou hast seen, and those things which I'll appear unto thee." Paul had about four different eyewitness appearances by the Lord himself. And verse 18, delivering from thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I will now send you. Now watch what his mission is, because we are coming into this faster than anyone can know now, because when this ball starts rolling, there is no stopping it. You do understand that. It's taken a long time to get that ball over into this realm. Amen? It's this realm that we're looking for now. It's this realm where God is standing and says, "Now come stand with me in this realm and stand with me till you see that invisible realm become visible in this realm." He says, "to open the eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sin." That's the only message to the lost. And in the one for us, this hour, this day, and he commissioned Paul in an eyewitness state, and he said, "and inheritance," preach inheritance, say preach inheritance, "among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Preach the inheritance to those that have already been sanctified. Everyone said, "preach inheritance." Everyone said, "I am an inheritor." God has been dealing with inheritors since the beginning of time. Think about Noah when he built that ark and nobody was listening to him. Nobody believed in him. He's building a boat, which was never a purpose for a boat in the first place. And he says, listen, rain is going to come out of the heavens. It never rained a single day before Noah. Water came up from the earth. He said, it's going to rain, all right. Build an ark. 100 years he was building that. 100 years preaching. And only 8 heard him. And he went into the ark. When he came out of that ark, 40 days later, he was an inheritor. Say, inheritor of the known world. Say, the known world. I was listening to somebody who was sharing something with me. It was just profound. Sharon was sharing with me that there was a man that got caught up in the heaven, and he was speaking to Noah. And Noah came and spoke with him. He goes, I want to tell you how I did that. And he gave him the mystery of how he got those animals in that ark. How are you going to get every wild animal in two? You think you're just going to call the lion and say, they're still wild. They were subjected to the law of sin and death. During the fall, they all became wild. Before the law of sin and death, oh, that's a good segue. Thank you, Lord. Before the law of sin and death, they were all tame. You know what he did? He told this to somebody. He said, the Lord had me go back and walk back into a pre-Adamic state with him. He goes, I entered into the glory of the Lord and I walked back into the day of Adam, into that realm where all the animals were tame. And I came out of that realm and I spoke to the animals in which Adam had the original dominion, and every one of them obeyed me. And they walked right up into the ark. Whoa! That's called the glory who was. We're starting to learn a lot of things about the glory that was. How about God taking you back, unlocking you in realms you were locked down 30 years ago, and then fast forwarding you where you're not locked down any longer? It's called the to and fro generation. Stay tuned for future attractions coming to a theater that you're sitting in. Praise God. Say, preach inheritance. Now go to Romans 8, and I'm going to share something the Lord has really gotten me in faith on now. He has me in faith on several areas, but two major areas. One is the life, say the life, and the other one's Penuel. Ooh, say face to face. This one with the life is really starting to grow because I'm giving a lot of time to it. You'll learn something about the kingdom of God. Whatever you give time to starts growing. And it starts getting real bright and real brilliant on the inside. The more time you give it, the more faith you give it, the more acknowledgement you give it, the brighter it gets. Amen? Well, this one, I really want to get bright here. Amen? I want to talk to you today about two laws here. Say two laws. There's really two laws that are working in the realm of the Spirit. And we're going to look at this in verse 1. It says, now there is therefore no, say no, condemnation or condemning sentence to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And I want to look at verse 2 here. Very powerful verse. Very appropriate for today. It says, for the law, say the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, you've got the law of Moses that was working death, but this law of sin and death was the one that Adam inherited when he fell. And the law of sin and death entered into the earth and corrupted all of mankind at birth and corrupted the entire world, corrupted the animal kingdom. They are all subjected to the law of sin and death. That law you were born in. You were conceived in it. That's why the Lord said you had to be born again. But what the Lord did in the resurrection, he did something so powerful. He purchased a new law. Say a new law. And what God did is he took a strain of DNA out of himself, out of the life, the Father, and he seeded Mary's womb by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he seeded a new creation. a new man born out of the womb of humanity. No one like him since Adam was born. Born in the life of Christ, seeded out of a womb, God became a man. But that law was working in him. Say, the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ. And you know that when we were born again, that law of sin and death was severed from our spirit. That's why you're not really classified as a sinner saved by grace anymore. You were a sinner, but that law purchased you, and not just your spirit. It's just your spirit underwent the entire transformation of what your soul and your body will undergo at another time. But he purchased all of you, not part of you. He didn't say you're a purchased possession for the exception of your body and your soul. How could he say that when he calls your body the temple of the living God? He calls your body a purchased possession. He purchased you a new body. Do you know that? That's why we have the first fruits of the Spirit when we're born again. But he's already put the down payment on your entire redemption. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Now, what happened was, when this law was purchased and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, once he gets set in motion by faith, and as soon as you believed in your heart, confessed with your mouth, that law, so powerful, it completely breaks the law of sin and death. That's an eternal law, by the way. The eternal law of sin and death completely severs it and recreates the human spirit into the life of God. That's the day we all woke up. You remember that day? Some people's conversions are different, but mine was extraordinary conversion. Man, I was just shaking. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I went back home, and everybody's wanting to party. I was a drug dealer back then. I don't know if any of you knew that, but I had a huge drug deal going in L.A. I was getting it sent Federal Express. It's crazy. Anyway. But I was going to go fly down there, and all of a sudden, the law, a spirit of life, recreated my spirit, and all of a sudden, they're calling me on Monday. I come home from Lakewood on Sunday. I drove home that night. I'm like, man, what is up? I am changed. Everybody comes over Monday, and I'm like, are you, because I was due to fly out to L.A., and they were saying, are you still going? I'm like, no, I'm not. And all the money was put up and everything, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm not doing this. And boy, there were some really upset people. But the law went off. Say the law. It went off. Now my soul still was messed up as could be. Still working on parts of it after 30 years. My body definitely didn't undergo the transformation, but my spirit did. Say, my spirit did. That law got set in motion. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, what was done in your spirit will be done on the day of resurrection in your body, but you don't have to wait. If you want the life of Christ to manifest in your body, I've given promises to those who understand how to work that law. He goes, I have got something inside of you that can set that law in motion. That law can grow dim when someone doesn't give any authority or time or attention or the word or walk with God. It'll get overridden by the flesh, and the flesh will run the show. Even somebody's got a born-again spirit walking around doing the things of the world because the flesh is overriding. But the law is still there. Or that law can begin multiplying just like the law of sin and death multiplied. Now go to Romans 5 for a minute. When that law of sin and death came in through Adam, it multiplied and still multiplying this day into every single person that's ever born. Nobody's born alive. They might be born in a state of innocence, but they're not born with the law of the Spirit alive. Now, God is not going to hold the children accountable. I remember one day, Carson's not in here. I love telling this story when he's there because it was him. And they're in the backyard. And he's running around in his birthday suit. And he doesn't think a thing in the world. He run around the backyard, and I'm like, people were around, people were there, and I'm just sitting there and looking. I'm like, that is just weird. He's just a little baby running around. Just, you know, there's another name for it, but we'll call it the birthday suit because we're in church today. So anyway, he's running around. The Lord speaks to me. He says, you know, the day he knows he's naked, I make him accountable. But as long as he doesn't know he's naked, then he's not accountable. Any child that dies in that state of innocence goes immediately to heaven. It's not until they know at the age of accountability they'll understand. As soon as that, they become accountable in the earth. The law, though, even though they're innocent, God doesn't hold it against them until the age of accountability. Now, when that law set in, that law of the Spirit of life. Now, we have two laws that are multiplying, but God spoke to me. He said, I am about to unleash the law of the Spirit of life in an unprecedented manner. It is the glory within, spoken of in Romans 8. When the glory is revealed within, say it's revealed. While we're in Romans 8, let's just look at that verse really quick. Go to Romans 8, verse 18. He's actually speaking of the glorified body. And watch this. He says, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be what? Revealed in us. That glorification is not coming on us. It's coming out of us. God's going to take that law and he's going to multiply it extremely on the day of glorification. And every one of us are going to receive a glorified body because God's just going to tap that law and it's going to glorify straight out. Where is it? It's in us. Say it's their glory revealed in us. Isaiah had something to say. And I want to back up to that a minute. And I'm going to take you forward a little bit. Go to Isaiah 40. Say Isaiah 40. Sharumani. Glory to God forever. Boy, I'm starting to work this new law, and I'm liking it. You got to work the law. Amen. Or that other law will work you. Watch this, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord, say the glory of the Lord, shall be revealed. Meaning it's hidden right now. He said, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. See, that glory is hidden up inside of us. You remember the woman at the issue with the issue at the well. You remember, not the issue of blood, but you remember the woman at the well, that whole discourse. And the whole thing, he goes, well, you know, a Messiah comes, this, that. He goes, hey, I am he that's speaking to you. And if you knew who you were talking to, you could have asked right now for the living waters. Because I'm carrying them. I'm the fountain of Israel. Spoken of old. He's standing in front of you. I am this well, and I'm a whole lot more than that. And he says, and the life that I will give you shall be a wellspring. Say a wellspring. A life. The life that I'll give is going to be a wellspring of eternal life that's going to bubble up out of you for eternity. Meaning there is a well of life up inside of us that we're not tapping yet. It's the glory that's actually God's going to bring out from us and glorify our entire body at the day of glorification. But there is a wellspring of eternal life. As the Father have eternal life in himself, he's given the Son to have eternal life in himself and for the Son to execute judgment. When we call upon the name of the Lord, he executes the judgment upon the spiritual death and he gives us the life and joins us into him. There is an eternal fountain up inside of us. And God's going to open that fountain in the last days. Not just at the day of glorification. The Lord said, you don't have to wait. I've given you plenty of promises that the life will manifest in your body, that I will quicken your mortal body. That the life within will spring up. You heard the song, spring up, oh well. Within my soul, spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, with life. Spring up with abundantly. Come on, spring up. Thy word is a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces, that shatters the rocks over my well. We might have some rocks sitting upon our well, but God's got a hammer. He said he cleaves the rock in the wilderness and the waters broke out. It don't matter if you're in a wilderness. He can open the rock of Christ inside of you. If he called water to come out of that rock and he said that rock was Christ, how much more can he pull water out of your rock that's inside of you? Living, eternal water. Life. Zoe. Resurrection. Booyah. Preach inheritance. The Lord said, I want you now to start accessing the life. I want you to start hammering away. I want you to start calling the life up out of you. He had another one in John 7. He goes, out from your innermost being would flow rivers. Not only would it gush up out of you, it would flow out of you. Rivers of eternal inheritance pouring out of a born-again son and daughter of the Most High God. Life. Life. Everyone say life. Oh, law, the spirit of life. The Lord said, go read again. Jorge, I'm preaching good. Everyone give Jorge a big hand back there. Hallelujah. Awesome man of God. So he said, I give life and life more abundantly. Whew. He took me to Isaiah. He goes, read it again. He said, read it again. Oh, let's go over to Isaiah for a minute. I want you to see it. God is going to open the wells, my friend. Go to Isaiah 9. He said, I'm going to open the well. He goes, I've hidden my glory for the last day. He goes, I got a hidden treasure inside of my people called the kingdom within. And not very many are learning how to bring it out. But I'm going to open the well springs. I'm going to bring a hammer down. And it's going to crack the rocks in pieces and shatter them. And that well spring of life is about coming up. It's going to flood your body. It's going to flood your soul. We saw it on the Mount of Transfiguration. It broke out of Christ, and his countenance became as the light of the sun. It broke into his soul. It broke out into his body. It broke out into his clothing. That life manifested, and his church saw it. The Lord said, when that kind of life manifests, everything that's dead will immediately start living. He goes, my people haven't learned how to break. And he's speaking to me too, how to release the life. He says, the greatest inheritance of all is the life. I came that you might have life. Said, I am the door. If by me any man entereth in, he'll be saved first. And then he'll go in and out and find pasture. Now the thief's coming and he wants something. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But what he's really after is not your possessions. He's after the life. But I came that you might have life and have it what? Abundantly. That wasn't just lifestyle abundantly. That was abundant of resurrection, eternal Zoe life, springing up, overriding the body, overriding the nature of the soul, overriding the nature of the mind, overriding the nature of the emotions, overriding death itself even in the body. Overriding sin, sickness, and disease. There is a law that overrides the law of sin and death. Every Tuesday, we're starting to teach the intercessors how to unplug. You got to unplug from the matrix. God's got an axe. Looks to me like a Viking axe. It's full of light. The big Viking axe, though. Anna likes it because she's a Viking. I like the lamb in her sometime, but every once in a while she becomes the Viking. Whew. Don't mess with her when she's a Viking, praise God. She'd come out with that sword, say, you want some of me? Anyway, that axe comes down. God has four different, he has a two-edged sword. He's got a winnowing fork. He's got a skilled knife of circumcision, and he's got an axe. We know this because he said the axe is laid at the root. What is the greatest root of all? Law of sin and death. Now listen, your body was unplugged from that completely. That's why you're not a sinner saved by grace anymore. Unless you just want to believe that. You are a manifested heir, son, citizen of God's son. And God put this life up in you. This God kind of life up inside you and gave you access to eat. The Bible says he makes you a partaker of the divine nature. Say, I am a partaker of the divine nature. We can partake. Our spirit man is given capacity, I believe, to partake of multiple dimensions in God. Even though we're not tapping them, our spirit man can eat from multiple dimensions and we can partake. And I believe God's going to expand our appetite in the last days to such a degree that that life's going to start manifesting up in our soul and start manifesting through this body. John G. Lake. The glory would come on him so strong that it would come into his hands like liquid glory, start pouring out of his hands. And all you do in the middle of a service is raise his hands. And whenever that liquid glory started pouring out, people would start running up to him and they would all hit, they would like enter into a wall and they'd start falling on each other, 5-6 deep. Bam, 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 bam. Until that liquid glory stopped flowing. He was a man way before his time. Man, he was accessing stuff. Well, we are the generation to receive the blessing. We're the generation to receive the glory which comes by the mysteries. I remember when Tina started marketing and says, man, we are moving in mysteries now. Get something you've never had with God. You're going to have to move into a realm you've never been in before, which requires mysteries to get us in there. Don't become too familiar with what's given up around here. If you don't do it, you won't see it. If you don't dwell there, you're not going to see what's going on. But if you dwell there, you'll start tasting to see the Lord is good. You'll start entering into the realms of light and glory. And the Lord said, I want you now to start presenting your body. And he's teaching us how to do it. I'll show you on Tuesday. We sever the cords. We take the Viking axe, call upon it to sever that law, the law of sin and death. Legally, it's not there. Legally, he buried it. In Romans 8, he says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead. But the spirit's life. Do you know why he called your body dead? Had to. He said, you were crucified, were not going to be. Say, you were crucified. You were buried in baptism. You were planted. And people hear that. I don't want to talk about crucified, buried in baptism. But that's a good thing. Because he's speaking of the old part of you. God knows how to separate what's earthly and what's heavenly. He's got a two-edged sword that can separate what's earthly and separate what's heavenly. He can separate what's old and what's new. He can separate old wineskin, new wineskin, chaff from the wheat, darkness from light. He did it in the beginning. He can still do it. Some of the guys, we still have darkness in us that needs separation. But what happens is you're living in a world that's controlled by the law of sin and death. The enemy fuels his whole system through that law. Poverty, debt, lack, need, destruction, sickness, infirmity, works, toil, labors, idolatries, you name it, witchcraft. It's all moving through that law. That's where he gets his power from. Without that law, he has no power. You can't enforce anything without a law. Neither can he. He has to have a law first to enforce anything. And that law will bait you. And if he can get your permission, he'll move that law up into areas it's not supposed to be up in. But when you're born again, your spirit was off limits. God did it a miraculous thing, but he left you in a body. Even though legally, now you got to get this. Everyone say, listen. Look at your neighbor and say, listen, because you're about to hear something. Now legally, say legally. Monica, you look good up here on the front row. Praise God. Glory to God. Say, legally, it was severed from your body. That's why he said the body's dead. That's why in Romans 6, his sin has no more dominion over you. Legally, the law was severed. The problem is, as we're growing up, we still, our body still has desire. So does the soul. It can move, not just in arenas of sins, but works, toil, labors, anything. Sometimes infirmity, when you see somebody that's getting sick all the time, what's happening is the enemy's moving something up through that law. It's constantly moving infirmity up through that law. And sometimes all you got to do is sever the law and you've severed the sickness. He's moving through the law. The law was original curse that came in. And he sends things through that until you decide to cut it off. And the Lord said, now when you're born, so I'm born again. Yes, you are. But your body is constantly integrating in the world. And so is your soul. And the enemy has a million traps for us all. And no matter how good you are, how Mary Poppins you are, or how stellar you are in the spirit, you still get capacities. And you have to constantly present. That's why we go into the Jordan. We go down in the Jordan and say, listen, a two-edged sword is in your hand. Sever, separate from me what's earthly and what's heavenly. But what I'm doing it every day now, I'm going to give you something. I gave it to you last week, but not everybody heard it. I'm going to give it to you again. You ready? This is powerful. I present that law every day. Every day I'm in there, I present that. I see it like a black umbilical cord. Whether it's attached or not, I'm presenting it to him. I know it's not in my spirit. I don't identify it. But I do see sometimes it wants to feed stuff up through my soul, up through my body realm, because my body's integrating here. So I call for that Viking axe. I said, the axe is laid at the root of every tree, and this is one root that's coming down, and I want the Viking axe. It's a big axe head, like that big, and it's full of light. And I see that go, thing, whoosh, and I see that law just withering away. See, I'm very poetic in my prayer time. I've learned to see and say. The Lord said, don't just speak it, see it. He goes, see what you want me to do. Don't just say it, see it. A lot of people were saying it, but they hadn't adjusted the image yet. And I see that thing withering away, and I said, go back to the abyss. Be thou loosed. Use the keys of the kingdom. I loose you this day. Every chain, every cord, every tie, be thou loosed. I deny your right to function up within my soul, within my emotions, within my body, within my mind, within my intellect. I am utilizing what? Faith. Faith is the law enforcement of the spirit realm. I know who I am. I'm using faith in the name of Jesus to sever the law, to dry it up, and I speak to it. I said, now wither. Wither up in my body, wither up in my soul, wither up in my emotions, wither up in my mind. Woo! If you started doing that, some of you will start getting healed just like that. You know why? Because that law is feeding areas you don't know. You don't have to be super spiritual. Just walk down into the Jordan. You can go to the throne of grace. That's not a natural. Show me where the throne of grace is on a Google map, please. Somebody Google the throne of grace. It's a spiritual place. The Jordan. Just see your promised land over there and a big river right here. Walk right up in that river. Go past the ankles, past the knees, past the loin, till you're down in the deep with him. And see that he's your great high priest down there. And then acknowledge him as your high priest. It's not rocket science. It's God science. I see the two-edged sword in your hand. You're going to separate my spirit, my soul, and a body. I see the winnowing fork. You're going to separate the chaff from the wheat. I see the skilled knife of circumcision. That's when he gets in there and separates the trigger mechanisms. Have you ever had a trigger mechanism? The rest of you should be raising your hand. You know, somebody says something or does something, and you just go off. You got triggered. God is unraveling the trigger mechanisms. Thank the Lord. Praise God. That's a knife of circumcision. Get up there and unlock that trigger. See, sometimes it takes a skilled knife. He don't need to be cutting you down to get something out. Sometimes it's the whole thing's got to be cut down. Just stand there. I'm going to slice you right down in two. Whoosh. He's really good at it. But if you start getting your faith in agreement with him, he'll unlock you. You keep doing it every day. You keep doing it every day. And suddenly that thing got unlocked. That's phase one. Whoa! You got to do it all the time. That's the maintenance of faith. Oh, I don't know. I only got to weed my garden once, and that's it. Try that in your own yard. I got these things called wax myrtles. God bless them things because they grow like crazy. How many of you got wax myrtles? You know what I mean? Oh, I mean. It wax myrtle. That thing grew up in my, we painted in our house. It grew up all down the side of my house and attached itself with pollux up on my roof. And when we pulled it down, all those pollux, about 100 of them, we had to scrape them off. Not very fun. I said, you know what? And I started seeing those things coming up again. I said, don't even think about it. I was seeing that thing going right back up again. I said, I just spent half a day on you. I went and got an axe out of my garage, and I just sliced them down. I said, if I see you again, that's what's going to happen to you. Now, that's what happens in the spirit. You're a garden. You are the maintainer of your garden. Keep the garden. That's the original mandate of God. You're going to have to keep the garden. God said, I put the tree of life back in your garden. You've got access to it now in your spirit. You can come eat as much as you want. But you got some weeds up inside of you. And you're going to have to put an axe to it every once in a while. If you don't, I don't know what happened. But as I painted the house, cleaned the porch, got all the junk off there, put this new cabana in. Don't ever build a cabana. Oh, I went Tarzan thing. I'm going to do this cabana thing. I bought it. I'll put it together. No big deal. 5 days. I'm like, oh, my God, 3,000 screws. I'm like, what are you doing? I had to get an internet step by step. I'm like, oh, my God, what did I just pay the dude $600? I should call him and said, man, I'd have paid you $1,200 at this point. But after all that, we got the new patio furniture out there. I told Anna, I'm going to have this done for you on Easter. And I work like crazy just to have it all ready. Now it's all ready to go. We were sitting up there, had my little tiki torch speaker. It's a speaker that looks like a tiki torch. It lights up like a fire. Put it right there this morning, had Bethel going. I was sitting on my new patio, and my spirit of God broke out all over the place. I'm like, God, I have never felt your presence out on this dirty patio before because it's a junkyard. It's amazing when something gets cleaned up and set in order, God will start, and this whole presence filled the backyard. And Cody walked up in there because he's praying with me in the morning. He goes, dang, you're up in the spirit. He didn't even have to know. I was just sitting there with my eyes closed. He could feel it from the fence line. He goes, man, the glory is back in the backyard. Because when something gets completed, and set in order, God will inhabit. I know some of you are going to go set your house up in order. I know some of you are going to go clean your bedroom. When we did our new bedroom, man, we can't even leave stuff on the floor anymore. I'm like, I can't do that because you like it clean. It's awesome. I know some of you are going to go do your dishes. You hadn't done them in a month. I know. But that's what goes on the inside. God comes, cleans the inside of the house. Listen, you got to keep it clean. You're not going to keep it clean by works. Because if all you're going to do is just discipline and discipline, I want more of the weapons of our warfare are what? Mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of the imaginations, and every high thing that was exalting itself, whether it that law was trying to exalt itself in my emotions or in my body, it's coming down. I got an axe. I got a two-edged sword. I got a skilled knife of circumcision. I got a winnowing fork. All of it's the word of God. Somebody say hallelujah. Okay, it's resurrection day. I know some of you are hungry. Food and all that, so I get it. I was born at night, but not last night. Once that law has been severed, see faith. The just will live by faith. Everything you do is faith. Everyone say faith. But now the Lord said, no, don't stop there. Now present yourself as a seed to me. Present the seed of Christ that I promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I got into the earth. That seed that's up inside of you, the glory within. Present that to me and the Father. Unto us a son was given. Unto us a child was born. And the government is upon his shoulder. And the increase of that government and peace there will be no end. There's no end to his nature. There's no end to his life. It's eternal. This is the true eternal life, to know God, eternal life. The Father has eternal life. He's given to the Son. Now that life's in us. He's now present this to the Father and say, ask me every day to multiply it. Ask me to multiply the life, the law of the Spirit of life. Every day I'm presenting that law to God now. Multiply the law inside of me. You got a law, and I got a law enforcement agency called faith. Now multiply this law. Multiply it in my body. Multiply it in my mind. Multiply it in my emotions. Multiply. See, it'll override years of programming. We respond emotionally because the life hasn't reprogrammed us yet. When we respond from the heart or from the realm of the flesh, it's because that part hasn't been reprogrammed. And we're sitting there trying to work that thing and work that thing and work that thing. I'm saying, all right, just lay the axe to it. This thing I'm working now, multiply this law. If that law is powerful enough to recreate a body at the day of glorification, how powerful is it now for all of us to release this wellspring? It will be in you a river, a well springing up. Say, spring up. You call it spring up, O well within my soul. Spring up, O law, and make me whole. Let the law of the Spirit alive spring up abundantly and multiply yourself through me. Multiply me in me, multiply through me. Everyone say, multiply in me, multiply through me. You got that. The life, say the life. Quicken. He said he'll quicken you. The life of Christ, let's all stand, will manifest in your mortal body. Come on, let's give him glory. Father, I thank you for the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ, manifesting this day. We present our spirit to you. Multiply this life. Multiply it as you did the bread. Multiply it as you did the fish. Multiply it as the stars of the heaven and the sand of the seashore. Multiply this law into my emotions. Multiply this law into my mind. Multiply this law into my spirit, my heart, and my body too. Quicken thou me with a life that's from you. Everyone say, I am a partaker of the divine nature. I am a partaker of the divine nature. You came that I would have life. And life abundantly. Set your vision for the abundance of life. 3:16. Set your vision for the abundance. Say the abundance. Boy, I'm working a new well. That well, it shall be in you. Say it's in me. It's in me. It's the glory within that's coming out. It's the last day glory to be revealed. The life manifesting in God's people. The life that will be seen. Arise, shine, thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord shall be risen upon thee. And his glory will what? Be seen upon thee. Let's give him glory. Come on, let's give him glory.